gonna grow up on Toys R Us kid. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't wanna grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and I am, yes, a Toys R Us kid. It's the time of year when store shelves are being emptied of toys and more are being made in Santa's workshop for all the good little boys and girls. And increasingly, the not-so-little boys and girls. According to the NPD Group, a market research firm, one quarter of all toy sales go to people 12 and older, and that's the biggest driver of growth in the toy industry, accounting for $9 billion in sales. That has prompted many toy companies like Lego and Mattel to create specific lines catering toward adults, a category of consumers who are sometimes known as kidults. So today, we're talking about what it means to be a kid again and find out who among us checks out the toy aisle for themselves. Joining me now is Mark Medley, founder and co-owner of Destination Toys and Collectibles in Jacksonville, Illinois. Although he's connecting with us from Hawaii, so definitely wins the 21st Show guest sweepstakes this week. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us in what I'm sure is a very early morning for you.
And yes, it's just after 7 a.m. in the beautiful state of Hawaii. It is going to be a beautiful day here. But my home is Central Illinois, so love
absolutely.
To both areas. I send warm saps back to Central Illinois.
Thank you. We need them. I'm sure your temperature is perhaps double what it is here. So, all right, we are also joined, though, today by Emmy Clint, who is the president of Nylant Toys. The company is based in Rockford. It made a line of steel toys from the 1930s through 2001. Emmy is the granddaughter of Ragnar Clint, one of the original founders, and is currently resurrecting the toy company. Emmy, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, want to hear from you today at 800-222-9455. Do you buy toys today and for whom? Maybe you collect toys, or maybe you just have fond memories of some specific toys from your childhood. We'd love to hear from you at 800-222-9455. We did ask our texting group about this. Peter in Rockford says he collects all things anime, while Jim in Athens says he's a comic book collector and also has a Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64, as well as Ninja Turtles action figures. All right, so again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455. All right, Emmy Clint, I want to begin with you. Talk about kidults. Are you seeing this rise in adult toy buyers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the majority of our customers are in the kidult category. Maybe even older. They're more in the collector category, but you can see I went to Toy Fair, U.S. Toy Fair this year in September in New York, and there's a huge part of the industry that is just dedicated to these types of toys and to cater to this industry.
So why are you seeing, like, talk about Nylant toys in particular? What are people buying them for? It's not, are they sitting on the, you know, taking them out and sitting them and driving across the floor like the kids do?
Some people have told me that they did, and that it made them feel like a kid again. Some people are buying them for their shelves. Some people are buying them for their kids or grandkids. I know I hear from a lot of our customers that just seeing them kind of makes them feel like a kid again. And it reminds them of just like that time in your life where, you know, you can be free and all you have to worry about is play. And so even if they just like look at the shelf, you know, in their office, they can see it and, you know, like makes them smile. So they're doing a lot of things with them, but I think the majority is on the shelf.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. Mark Medley of Destination Toys and Collectibles, who are some of your customers? What are they buying?
Well, I have to agree with Emmy that it's seeing an upswing on the adult, the kidult collector. It varies depending on different things, but a lot of adult collectors, yes, I concur wholly with that. It's a lot of adults who who were unable possibly to own these type of toys when they were youngsters due to, parents not wanting to spend the money, or able to spend the money, or perhaps that they had some of these toys in their youth, and grandma sold it at the church yard sale for a quarter, or got lost and transitioned back and forth to college, and they no longer have that. Now they've come into their own, and they want to add these things that made them happy in their youth to their collection, and pass this legacy tradition on to their children and sometimes grandchildren. I'm not sure that I have exactly the same demographic of people as Emmy. I know with Nylant toys, they are highly collectible and being originally and continuing again, which is awesome, originally made in Rockford, that holds a special place close to collectors in Illinois, in central Illinois, in our area there. Because, hey, it's Illinois made, and why can't you be proud of that? And I certainly am. And I hope that a toy line like that continues to exceed and excel. Brian, you mentioned things like Hasbro and Mattel and things like that. They all have a roller coaster ride. They come and they go. They come and they go. Over the decades. So, not all adult collectors collect the same thing, which is so interesting to me and probably the listeners. Somebody will be wholeheartedly into G.I. Joe, and somebody over here will be so into Hot Wheels. Or a young lady discovers her mother's Barbie collection and goes, "Mom, what is this?" And then the mother explains, and you light a fire with toy collecting over generations. But I too see that it is a huge upswing on the adult collecting, because adults realistically are the ones who can afford these items. And gosh darn it, some of them aren't cheap anymore in this collecting line.
No, they certainly aren't.
That's true.
And the resale ones in particular. I had an experience with a young person who was really disappointed at a secondhand Lego store at how high some of the prices were. It just seemed so unfair to this kid that they were charging so much for these vintage Lego sets from the 1980s, which to his eyes just look like fun toys, but to the collector is, new in box, sealed,
Right.
very valuable
Right.
thing. Yeah. So, Emmy, talk about that though, because toys, physical toys, still important for children, even though we see a lot of kids grabbing for mom or dad's phone or tablet these days.
Yeah, so I mean, I think toys will always be important to children and to children's growth and development. Play and imaginative play is very important for children to learn and grow. And so, pushing a car across a room, to us just seems like they're playing, but they're learning about like gravity and the force of motion and all of these different things that they haven't really experienced yet. So I think that there's a part of play that will always have that aspect to it. I think especially for my generation, I have a 6-year-old and an 18-month-old, and I know that the parents are turning away from the iPad. Obviously, we still use it. But like during the week, there's no screens. And we only use the iPad if we're going on a long car ride or we're in a fancy restaurant, something to keep them occupied. But I think it's taking this turn from in the early 2000s where video games was everything, and like kids would come home and they would just get on the computer, get on the Nintendo, whatever. I think parents more and more are pushing their children towards going back to those original models of play. And so I think that that's always going to be a huge part of the industry.
Mark, I'm guessing that a lot of toys you sell may be older than some of your youngest clients. Do you see interest among kids in playing with something that's older than they are?
Well, I sure do, and it makes me smile ear to ear, Brian. Yes, it's if a father has a liking for a certain type of toy, or these children grew up with their parents watching certain movies, it seems that the younger crowd follows their parents. unless they haphazardly discover something on their own via going to a movie or a TV with their friends. You mentioned something like on a tablet, or putting the cell phone in front of the kid to to instead of learning to play. I think all of that is important. You have your reading, your writing, your arithmetic, but you also need your recreation. And I think that that is recreation for adults. And going back, and hate to use the word, but the retro of it, going back and enjoying these things of their youth, but passing their love of that, that movie and that toy line onto the kids. But I have some clients in Jacksonville that are very specific to what you mentioned there. I have a young man who's a college professor, and he has been a lifelong fan of, we'll say, the Aliens series. And because he's such a fan, he's watched these movies. His kids have watched him watch these movies, watched them with him, and they've vicariously become fans as well, not only of these films, but of dad's love for something. Whether dad was into muscle cars, they would have followed that route. But he's into the toys of this particular film line. So the children, like, again, very vicariously followed their father. And I see that a lot with vintage toys, which are, of course, older than these youngsters. Happens all the time with other vintage toys. Star Wars always is and probably will always be a big one. But other vintage toys you could think of do the exact same thing, Brian.
Although the big question is, of course, does dad let the kids play with the vintage toys or the fancy new still in the blister pack package?
Yeah, they buy two of these. You can open one and play
Yeah,
with it. We're
that's what
putting
a
the
lot
third
of
one up
people
on the
do. They
shelf.
like buy two, and then they like
That's
have
true.
one for show and one for play.
Oh, that's
That's
interesting.
right.
Okay.
And I'm
Wonderful.
okay with that.
Yeah, well, sure,
Yeah,
of course.
exactly. I'm fine with it too.
I mean, talk about kids today. Does the same, design idea that went into the toys that Nylund made in the 30s and the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and so on, does that hold the interest of kids today? Or do you have to
I
change the
mean,
design to, yeah, go ahead.
my kids still play with toys from the 60s and Nylund toys from the 60s and 70s. Like they're still going strong. And I know a lot of other kids that are doing the same thing. So there's something about, a classic car that's never going to change. So I mean, I think there's some elements that are always going to remain the same. I think the things that are changing are the way we're making things. Obviously, there are very different toy safety standards and regulations now than there was in 1946, like when my grandfather and his brother first started doing this.
Oh, yes, the asbestos
So,
toy with lead paint.
right, exactly. So, and Nylund was always on the forefront of safety. They actually were the ones that started using hemmed edges, like steel edges, to make it safer for the kids in the stamped steel toys. So, I think it's an evolution. Our toys right now, they are inspired by the 1960s models, but they kind of have this like more modern feel to them. And we've had a really like mixed response. Some people really love them, and some people want the exact same. I think, and I think the kids don't really care. I think the
Yeah,
kids just
fair
want
enough.
something that looks cool. If it looks cool to them, and it can roll, and it does the things that they want it to do, they don't care. That's more of an adult thing, I think.
100%. I see that. I see it with the Star Wars movies, right? The kids don't care about the original editions versus the special editions
No.
and everything. They just like the lasers and swords.
They
Let's go to the
just want to
phones. Yeah.
play.
Yeah,
They
exactly. Let's.
just want to play their toys, and that's what they were made to do, play with them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, a couple minutes before the break, let's get a phone call in before we do. Bruce is calling from Rockford on line four. Bruce, I understand you worked for Nylund back in the day.
Yeah, it was my first job. The Nylund company was in my neighborhood, so it was walking distance from my house. And when I was 16, it was my first job. Worked on the paint line. And then moved up to spot weld, and then I was a forklift driver.
And do you still collect them? Do you have any original of the Nylund toys from back when you worked there?
when you find them at sales, at estate sales or garage sales or whatever, I've got maybe about 10 or 12 of the old ones. The old ones had the metal bumpers, and you know, since I worked there, I knew how well they were made. I mean, they were really well made, and I played with them when I was a kid in the 60s, in the early 60s, had a bunch of them. My flagship of my collection is a semi white trailer, and it has the name of another Rockford company on it, which was Rockford Screw Products, and that's emblazoned right across the trailer. So that's, you know, it's a Rockford company on a Rockford toy. How much better can that be, you know?
Ah, perfect. Well said. Bruce, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience with us. We really appreciate it. And you can call in as well today if you want to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We are talking about how adults are helping keep the toy industry going strong. We're talking about this with Emmy Clint, who's the president of Nylant Toys, resurrecting that company. It was based in Rockford for so many years. And Mark Bentley, founder and co-owner of Destination Toys and Collectibles in Jacksonville, Illinois. We need to take a break. We will continue when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
I want a ball. I want a party. Pink macaroons and a million balloons and performing baboons and give it to me. Now, I want the world.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about adult toy buyers, kidults, some call them, and how they're helping keep the toy industry going strong. Mark Medley is the founder and co-owner of Destination Toys and Collectibles in Jacksonville, Illinois, and Emmy Clint is president of Nylant Toys. Based in Rockford, her grandfather was one of the co-founders of that company. It made cars and metal cars from the 30s through 2001. She is resurrecting that company today. If you want to join our conversation, that's 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right, Mark, we talked a little about this before the break. What do you make of these toys that are really designed for collecting as opposed to playing? And I'm thinking here of, say, Funko Pops, these little statues. People buy them. They don't even open the box.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, Brian, as they are by far the most popular thing for adult collectors right now, I would say.
And maybe for some listeners who aren't familiar with them, can you just briefly describe what these are, what these look like?
Oh, certainly. They're an action figure, a vinyl action figure that is has an enlarged head and features, and then has a smaller sized body. But what these are is designed to replicate famous characters in pop culture, whether it be TV, music, movies, political. They even have ones that represent food products. And they run the gambit on all of the different things that you could think of and different versions of these toys. And they come in a little box with a clear plastic resin window. And they're highly collectible to all ages, but adults go gaga over these because it's a character from a movie, film, whatever, that they've loved their entire life, that they've never perhaps made a toy on. In its entire line. So they're highly desirable. And another thing that adult collectors like to do with these Pop Funkos, Brian, is to seek out at toy shops, conventions, backstage doors, the talent who either voiced these or played these characters. And the big thing that adults love to do is get them autographed. So the Pop Funko company makes these, and there's something in that line for everybody. If you couldn't find something in there, you might be deceased. they make thousands and thousands of them, and they're very, very popular. Sorry, that's kind of a long answer to that question, but they're a hot item.
Yeah, no, definitely. You see them all over the place. Emmy, what do you make of the fact that companies like Lego and Mattel are really designing sets and toys specifically catered to adults? And I don't know, maybe you put your own company in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, our toys are definitely catered towards the collectors right now. I think that's because that's where our fan base is and where people know our name from. But we do want to get into the actual, you know, play toy arena eventually. I think it's great. Whatever makes you happy. I think that if you want to go build a Lego set and you're like 45 years old and that like makes you happy and helps you de-stress from life, that's great. Like I don't see a problem with it. I think that, and it's great that people that now companies actually recognize that there is this consumer, so that there is something more on their level. I think there's something about, you know, us as adults finally being able to have the purchasing power, as, you know, when we were kids, we were told no a lot. At least I know I was told no. I didn't get every single toy I wanted. But
the horror,
you know,
the horror.
Now, oh yeah, exactly, the horror. But now, you know, I have my own money. So if I want a Funko Pop, I'm going to buy a Funko Pop. Like, I don't have to ask my mom for it, you know? And there's something also cool about that of like, oh, well, you know, I made this money. I can spend it how I want, even if it's for this silly little, you know, figurine.
Nice. Mark, let's talk. So one of the things we've been talking about are, you know, Star Wars, Alien, G.I. Joe. We did mention Barbies, but also cars and things. I hear a lot of sort of like toys. What would you say? They're kind of male coded in our culture. Do you see women collecting as well?
I do. And it goes hand in hand a lot with the Pop Funkos. But we see a lot of female collectors with the Pokemon cards. It's, you know, during shutdown, during COVID, the Pokemon Institution released the Pokemon Go. And, you know, it gave a chance for people who had been kind of cramped in their houses to go outside, get some fresh air for a change, walk around with, you know, a few safe friends and do something you hadn't been able to do for a bit. And then it's like, gosh, you know, then they wanted something tangible to go with this, you know, this cyber game. So the upswing on Pokemon in particular, huge. It's always been there, but it's been a roller coaster. It's ginormous. And I would say realistically, probably 80% of what we are seeing, maybe even more, is female dominated card collecting. Which is a lot with Pokemon. It goes into some of the other genres as well. The Pop Funkos, other cards as well. But yeah, females, you know, something else I'll mention as well. You had the Barbie movie come out this year. And we thought, gosh, this would be a fantastic opportunity for somebody to pick up the reins and do something great with Barbie toys and collectibles. Well, you know, I know we all have to go to the big box store sometimes, and we wander down their toy aisles. I didn't personally see one Barbie-related thing for the movie, and maybe I missed it. That would be hard-pressed for me to do. But, you know, you see the regular Barbie that has been out, and that's still collectible. But even the Barbies are not so much female. They kind of switch to the male demographic. There's a few other things along that line too. It just is really crazy how that comes about. But Pokemon, big time for female collecting. Yes.
Emmy, do you like to collect anything yourself?
I mean, obviously Nylon toys. Whenever I go okay. to a thrift store or an antique store, I always have to find a Nylon toy and buy it. I am also a huge Harry Potter fan, so I have some Harry Potter Funkos and some Harry Potter stuffed animals around the house. I wouldn't say I'm an avid collector of anything besides the Nylons, but yeah, there's definitely stuff around my house that I don't let the kids play with.
Mark, what about you? Do you collect anything?
I do. It's my love, my heart is in vintage Star Wars, personally. And then, toys related to other film and such that I grew up with, E.T., Back to the Future, things of that nature, $6 Million Man, Evel Knievel. That's my bag for sure.
Nice. And I want to share another text we got from a listener. This is from Tommy in Urbana. Says, we don't buy toys for ourselves, but we buy for our children or give them gift cards. We have grandchildren and one great grandchild. If we purchase toys for ourselves, it inflates the prices so fewer real kids can have them. And Mark, I wanted to ask you about this. I know there's a young person in my life who has coveted the old Lego Ewok village from Star Wars because they saw it in a book. But you go on eBay, that thing is $800, which is probably four to eight times the price of when it was originally on the market. So talk about this. Are we pricing kids out of the toy market in some way?
I don't even have that in my collection, Brian. So the short answer to that is yes. You're pricing the adults and the children out of that. So what I think about that would be, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, we're talking about the idea of pricing kids out through expensive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something like that. We'll mention, go back to the Ewok Village. They price these things for adults who they think have a lot of money and may have a lot of money to spend on these. But if it's for a kid, like you say, a youngster that's in your family who saw this in the Sears catalog or saw it online somewhere, yes, they've definitely priced that out. And perhaps Lego could come out with less costly lines, but their argument sometimes is that, well, plastic comes from oil and petroleum, and that's expensive. So who's going to pick up the reins on that? That's essentially the consumer. So even with new Legos, you go to Walmart right now and see Legos on the shelf for this Christmas season. It's going to be very expensive. But $800 for a toy from those years ago is very expensive. And, like I say, I don't even have that in my collection, Brian. So it's quite costly. You are pricing these people out.
Yeah, I know when we first launched our toys, people bought our toys, which we were listing for, I think it was like $99. They bought them, put them on eBay for $500.
Wow.
The same day.
So you had people going in to sort of, buying up the toys to resell it online.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Well, if you'll allow me to interject for a moment, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, I'm in Hawaii, and so I haven't seen this collection with my own eyes, but my partner Billy in Jacksonville sent me a text, and with all of these Nylant toys, and there's some others in there too, and this elderly farmer gentleman from somewhere in central Illinois, I don't know the fellow personally, brought in all of these items and said, can you help me sell these? I don't know how to use eBay, but I know they have some real intrinsic value, some real worth. And he sent me some pictures. I'm like, holy cow, never seen this. I never knew it existed. And he purchased these years and years ago. And they've been sitting on a shelf, in his barn office, and it's just crazy. In the box, it's just insane. Emmy, I'll have to get some pictures to you of this stuff. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I've never
love
seen
it.
A collection like this ever.
Coincidentally. When this happened with the Taylor Swift concert tickets last year, we saw a huge backlash against Ticketmaster and Taylor Swift herself in some quarters. How do you, as somebody who is Emmy and in this market, how do you think about pricing and maybe trying to prevent that so that, you can reach consumers directly and not have all of your products snapped up by a few people to, put it on eBay?
Luckily we haven't had, too many people buying huge amounts yet. But we tried to price them, especially right now for the Christmas season, so that families can buy them. You know, they're $59.99 for two toys and a book. So, you know, that's about $30 a toy, which is kind of what you'd see in, you know, Walmart or Target for a toy of that size. In the future, you know, I think you have to do limited edition runs, and you have to, you know, limit the amount that people can actually buy. And, you know, that it sucks, but at the same time, you know, just like you said, toys are meant to be played with. So if, you know, we're just making these, you know, I don't know, these items that are always just going to sit on the shelf, like that's a different thing, you know. And there's companies that specifically do that, like Greenlight. They make toys for, you know, these die-cast models that are not meant to be played with. They're like attached in their little box. You can't take them out, you know. But that's not what we're going for.
Yeah, or statues as opposed to posable action figures, maybe. Yes. You know, let me share one more text message we got from a listener. Said, you are talking about me. I have a lot of my own children's toys, and my grandchildren are playing with them now. I'm also a Lego connoisseur and collector. I love sharing my joy of building them with my granddaughters and building the complex ones myself. I do let the girls play with them and fix things afterwards if needed. I'm over 60 and buy a lot of Legos for myself and my grandkids. Emmy, I'm imagining there might be some people listening to us now, though, rolling their eyes, thinking we're, you know, talking about a bunch of Peter Pans. What do you say to that? People who say, ah, grow up. This is a little nuts.
I mean, I say, like, do what makes you happy. I don't know. It's not hurting anybody. And if it brings joy, I mean, toys are supposed to bring joy, right? And happiness. And so that doesn't end when you turn 12 or 13, you know, that need, that joy doesn't just go away. So, you know, times are tough, especially like since COVID, we've had a rough couple years, you know, like a rough couple years. So if looking at a Funko Pop, like makes your day a little better, you know, who cares? I think that's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, how about that? Do you proudly take the Peter Pan mantle?
I wear that with pride, and I concur 100% with what Emmy said there. It's they're supposed to make you happy. They're toys. They're meant to be played with. You know, when I was a youngster, I played with all my Star Wars action figures, and I loved it. Still have them all. But if you look from a business standpoint, you go, gosh, I wish I would have kept these all in the package. And done that is, you know, who knew, who had the foresight on that. But, you know, sometimes I have to play devil's advocate, and I understand somebody will come into our shop or a convention or something like that online, and they'll go, wow, that's really expensive. And, you know, I'd like to sell the item, and I'd like them to have it. But you can also read this person and understand whether or not it's going to be within their pocketbook. And, you know, if it is, sometimes I'll play devil's advocate. I'm like, it's only money. You need that. But if I see a young father in there with two kids and they're like, daddy, daddy, when we're done here, can we go to lunch? You have to be able to understand in a retail world that some people who want these items don't necessarily need them. You know, I always tell my partner, hey, the shop isn't a museum. It's a retail outlet.
It is a business.
And
yeah,
it's a business. So,
right.
But make a deal with somebody. You know, it's where we all put our pants on one leg at a time. You know, so you can make somebody happy, do it.
All right. Mark Medley is the founder and co-owner of Destination Toys and Collectibles. Emmy Clint, president of Nylant Toys. Thank you both so much for being with us today on the 21st show. We need to take a break. More to come. Stay with us.